We would like to welcome our radio audience to the sanctuary of Trinity United Methodist Church at 333 South Chestnut Street. If you enjoy our radio ministry and would like to further the building of His kingdom, you can visit our website at www.dev.tumcseymour.org. I'd also like to recognize birthdays and anniversaries. 1211 Susan Spicer, 1214 Lane Stewart, 1216 Del Weekman, 1217 is Sandy Hall. The flowers on the altar are sponsored by Terry and Troy Nicholson in honor of Jesus' birthday. And the radio is sponsored by Pam and Roger Weddle in honor of Gordon and Brenda's birthdays. Also, please come and join us on Saturday, December the 16th from 5 to 7. We will be serving our next community meal. We will offer ham, mashed potatoes, corn, and dessert. Please come and enjoy the fellowship here at 333 South Chestnut Street in Seymour. And now we will have some special music, The Virgin Mary Had a Baby Boy by Proof.
Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Mark and I selected this song. It's kind of a lively number. Very lively number. So, I mean, don't be afraid to kind of shake it back and forth this morning and get into it. It's okay. The title of this song is The Virgin Mary Had a Baby Boy. I think during this season, it's important to give Mary, Jesus' mother, a little credit.
Amen.
Okay? Because here she was pregnant, very pregnant, and Joseph says, honey, we got to go to Bethlehem and get counted. Now, probably the last thing she wanted to do was load up on a donkey, because I don't think they had RAV4s and Civics back then. Load up on a donkey, leave her friends, leave the comfort of her own home. But at least she probably knew that Joseph had reservation at the Holiday Inn. No, that didn't work out either.
No.
So they ended up
in a manger.
In a manger. So I like that this song gives Mary a lot of credit, and she deserves it. But it's also about the birth of Jesus. Now the Troy Nicholson Orchestra bringing the Big Island sound to you.
The Virgin Mary had a baby boy. The Virgin Mary had a baby boy. The Virgin Mary had a baby boy. And they said that his name was Jesus, Jesus. The Virgin Mary had a baby boy. The Virgin Mary had a baby boy. The Virgin Mary had a baby boy. And they said that his name was Jesus, Jesus. And unto us a blessed child is born. Down.
And now our scripture reading will be from Mark 1, verses 1 through 8. Thank you, Jimmy and Mark. That was wonderful.
Yes.
After the scripture reading, the sermon will be presented by Pastor Angel Armstrong called Preparing for Christmas. Mark 1, 1 through 8. The beginning of the good news about Jesus the Messiah, the Son of God, as it is written in Isaiah the prophet. I will send my messenger ahead of you who will prepare your way. A voice of one calling in the wilderness, prepare the way for the Lord, make straight paths for him. And so John the Baptist appeared in the wilderness, preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. The whole Judean countryside and all the people of Jerusalem went out to him. Confessing their sins, they were baptized by him in the Jordan River. John wore clothing made of camel's hair with a leather belt around his waist, and he ate locusts and wild honey. And this was his message. After me comes the one more powerful than I, the straps of whose sandals I am not worthy to stoop down and untie. I baptize you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit.
Amen. The word of God for the people of God. Isn't it amazing to think about the fact that the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the one who came to save us from our sins, was born in a lowly stable. And like Chad said many times last night, surrounded by stinky animals. Not much of a beginning, is it? We all treasure meeting famous people. Some like to meet politicians. I could care less about them. But yesterday, Dee was telling us about the concerts that she had been to, and everybody started chiming in on the concerts they had been to. We all love to meet famous singers and sports idols and people like actresses and actors, our favorite ones. We prepare to meet them. It takes space in our head and in our hearts. But do we prepare? I mean, truly prepare to meet the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords again at this time of year. Not only should we prepare our hearts again for the miracle of the Christ child being born to the Virgin Mary, like Mark and Jimmy sang. But we should also be preparing our hearts for the second coming of Christ Jesus. I know it's an interesting way to start off a sermon on Advent. I want to make a couple of observations about getting ready for Christmas. The Church Universal prepares for Christmas a little different than what the world does. We have a season of Advent. It is a penitential time, a time where we reflect deeply in our hearts the precious gift that God the Father has given us by sending Jesus the Son, that he might take the sins of the world upon himself, that we might be reconciled with the Father. And then there was a precious gift given to us when Jesus ascended to the right hand of God the Father. He left with us the Holy Spirit. Now that's my best friend. The Holy Spirit walks with me constantly. The Holy Spirit is my conscience. The Holy Spirit prepares my heart for an encounter with the living Christ Jesus. Advent is the church's time of preparing the way for Christmas. Now, traditionally, we don't sing Christmas carols in the church before Christmas. Although, I'm female. I reserve the right to change my mind. We will sing some Christmas carols, but we mainly stick to the Advent carols, and then on Christmas Eve and through the Christmas season to Epiphany, we will have tons of carols for us to joyfully sing. Many people count the time from now until Christmas as how many shopping days we have left. Is anybody done with all their shopping? Anybody? Glenda's done. Sandy's done. Dee's done. I'm jealous. I've barely begun. Thank goodness for Amazon and that all my family lives at a distance because I can send it out. Used to be a time when we would have to have our gifts for people who were out of town a month at least beforehand, wrapped securely, taken to the post office, and then pray that our gift would arrive in time and in one piece. Now we have Amazon and all kinds of other delivery methods. The words of one Christmas song go something like this. Oh, the real meaning of Christmas is the giving of love every day. Not really, that sounds nice, but that is not it. The real meaning of Christmas is preparing our hearts for the birth of the Christ child, that we will absolutely adore him and worship him. You see, for us in the church, it's not just a holiday. It is a holy day. And beloved, we still have encounters with the living Lord Jesus Christ through the Holy Spirit. Elena came to me last night and she said, Pastor, do you believe in angels? And I said, yes, Elena, I do. And she said, have you ever seen one? No, Elena, I've not, but I believe in them. And she told me a story. She said, I can't remember if it was her grandmother or her great-grandmother. Mark will have to correct me later. Had a car accident. And she said a farmer came out of nowhere and helped her. And then she turned around and that farmer had disappeared. And her grandmother told her that that was an angel. I believe fully in angels. I also believe in the power of the Holy Spirit to convict our hearts of the sins that we have done. The power of the Holy Spirit to drop us to our knees when we are in prayer for a loved one. I believe fully in the power of the Holy Spirit to bring about a holy encounter with the living Lord Jesus. You might not care right now about having a holy encounter with the Holy One. You might be just a little more interested in singing Christmas carols and getting the rest of your presents bought in baking. How many people here bake so that they can give baked goods to their loved ones and their neighbors? Yay! All kinds of yummy stuff coming up. But actually, what we should be doing during this time is making sure that we spend undivided attention with the Holy One, preparing our hearts that we might meet him once again on Christmas and that we will meet him again when the second coming of Christ comes. It is so easy to get caught up in all the hustle and bustle. I love the scripture for today. John the Baptist tells us to prepare ye the way. He tells us to repent and to be baptized. Repent. The Greek word means to change. I think sometimes that we get caught up in the hellfire and brimstone meetings of repent. I'm not that kind of preacher. I don't believe in scaring people to heaven. I don't think that'll work. We have to have a true one-on-one relationship with the living God in order to get to heaven. There is no other way to get to heaven than through Jesus Christ the Son. and we must be in relationship with Him in order to get there. Christmas is a time of tradition, and it can be difficult for us to understand Advent as a way of preparing our hearts to make changes, turning from whatever keeps us from fully submitting to Christ, turning from whatever might harden our hearts against the Holy One. And there's all kinds of things. There's busyness. There's the hustle and bustle. There's the wanting to keep people at arm's length because getting close to people could hurt. And then there is the old family wars that crop up around this time of year when you have to go and be present among your family members. I don't care who you are, we've all dealt with it at some point in time. And Christ is calling us to lay down those burdens upon the altar and to prepare our hearts, to have a contrite spirit and prepare our hearts to meet the Holy One. And we cannot prepare our hearts if they are hardened by differences, if they are hardened by grudges, if they are hardened by things that keep us apart from our brothers and sisters. For some of us, what stands in our way of actually making changes and being one with Christ Jesus is working too hard. For some of us, it's too much ambition. And for some of us, it's too much greed. For some of us, it's a negative outlook and attitude. I know that I struggled a little bit trying to get into the Christmas spirit until I got to get out there and ring the bell for the Salvation Army and see the look upon people's faces when I said Merry Christmas to them. They had to stop and think about it. There was an older gentleman sitting out there serenading Sandy with some kind of horn. I can't remember what kind of horn it was. Do you know? A bugle horn. And he was doing an amazing job. He said, I just recently moved here from Fort Wayne. My wife has had a stroke. I've not had opportunity to play my horn. And he sat out there and played all kinds of Christmas carols and people stopped and listened and sang. And then I saw little children being given money, their parents teaching them to be the hands and feet of Christ Jesus and to put money in that bucket. That changed my heart and my spirit. And I began to get just a little bit more into the Christmas spirit. The specifics of what stands in each of our way of truly submitting to Christ Jesus is a little bit different. For all of us, change is difficult. But it does have one thing in common. We are called to drop the barriers that we erect between us and other people. Because when we have walls that are built up, we are not fully accessible to God the Father and Jesus the Son. It prevents us from being open and sensitive to the Spirit of God as long as we have erected barriers in our life against other people. The end result will be a barrier against God. My friends, if you are looking for just a holiday spirit, you won't find it here in this church. However, if you are looking for an encounter with the Holy One, you will find it here in this church. Because here in this church, we truly pray for one another. I know all of you sitting out there, and I know your heart's desire is to have your hearts pure and open to what God would have us to do. I'm loving seeing Marilyn here. I was told she was going to go to an auction this morning. She says, I know God wants me in church, but I got to get out sometimes. And she's right about that. But I love seeing her here right now, listening to what God was telling her, I know that I need to be here in church. Part of Advent, part of preparing the way, is also preparing for the second coming. Is there room in the inn of your heart for Jesus Christ? Or has the hustle and the bustle of the season caused you to brush away the Holy Spirit when the Holy Spirit tries to touch your spirit, urging you to do something for God the Father? I will close with a poem that I read recently. Is there room for Jesus in your home today? Will you welcome him into your life to stay? I'm telling you, Jimmy, that children's message just summed this up. We could have ended right there. Or will you be too busy in the Christmas rush that his very presence, you'll give him the brush? Is there room for Jesus in your heart this year? Will you welcome him with gladness and cheer? Or will you be too frazzled with all that you've got to do and have no space for him until the holidays are through? Is there room for Jesus in your life today? Or will you also send him away?
Family hiding from the storm found no place at the keeper's door. It was for this a child was born, to save a world so cold and hollow. A sleeping town, they did not know that lying in a manger low, a Savior King who had no home has come to heal our sorrows. Is there room in your heart? Is there room in your heart? Is there room in your heart for God to write his story? Counting sheep at night, do not fear the glory light. You are precious in his sight. God has come to raise the lowly. Is there room in your heart? Is there room in your heart? Is there room in your heart for God to write his story? You can come as you are, but it may set you apart when you make room in your heart and trade your dreams for his glory. Heart for God to write his story.
when you